in the name of Jesus. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Be imitators of God as his beloved children? How are you and I, mortal creatures that we are, to imitate God? I can't create a universe. I can hardly put two boards together with a hammer and nail. Well, maybe I'm not that bad. You can't create a universe. These things are outside our power. So what does it mean when St. Paul directs us, when he commands us to imitate God as his beloved children? Well, the first thing we have to realize is that we cannot really imitate God the Father, for after all, he is spirit, and we are not. But we, as those who have flesh and blood, as those whom Christ took upon himself, whose nature Christ took upon himself, we imitate God by being imitators of Jesus. Well, now that's a pretty tall order too, but Christ Jesus, your Savior, fulfilled all righteousness for you by living a holy life in perfect obedience to God's will. He who is Son of God from all eternity was not a son of disobedience, for had Christ been disobedient in even one minor point to God's law, he would have not been the sacrifice, the atoning, pure, holy sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. Being imitators of God as beloved children. Notice what status precedes that phrase, be imitators of God. It's beloved children. You, in Christ Jesus, are God the Father's beloved child. You, in Christ Jesus, have been adopted into God's family. He has claimed you as his own dear children. Our Lord Jesus Christ is Son of God by nature, but we, for Jesus' sake, are welcomed into his family, into the family of the triune God, with Jesus as our elder brother. This is a given status. It is not a status you have chosen. It is not a status you have finagled out of God, wearing him down until he finally declares you his beloved child. No, God has done this. You and I were at one time sons of disobedience because we inherited Adam's sinful nature. We were at one time darkness, but now, for Jesus' sake, we are light in the Lord. The light of Christ shines upon us, and as believers in Jesus, the light of Christ shines through us. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Not that we generate or kindle our own light. We shine with the reflected light of Christ. Because God, according to his word, has made us his beloved children. God did not send his Son into the world to die for sin and then go on his own way, thinking that his death for sin was sufficient. Yes, his death for sin was sufficient to take away our sins, but God did not leave us there having forgiven us. He received us into his family. Now, earthly families do peter out and die. Maybe there may not be children to carry on the family name. But that is not the way it is when you are a child of the Heavenly Father. You have had an everlasting name placed upon you in baptism. Yep, excuse me, in baptism. Gotta cut out those cigars. You have been given, been privileged to make use of the name that is above all names, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are God's beloved children for Jesus' sake. Our Father who art in heaven, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His dear children, just as dear children call upon their earthly father. And the fatherhood of God is eternal. He has established a relationship with you that is eternal. As I have kidded around the last couple of weeks, I'm now an orphan. My mother has died. You know, that earthly relationship has ended, but we have a relationship that exists on because she is in the church triumphant. Just as you have a relationship with your loved ones who have died in the faith and who are in the church triumphant, we are one family in Christ Jesus. And when we gather before the altar, we have fellowship with those who are with Christ. Therefore, we sing with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, "Holy, holy is the Lord." And it's all because of Jesus that this continuing relationship with those Christians who have died is made possible. Be imitators of God as His beloved children. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." He says, "I no longer call you servants or slaves, I call you my friends." And thus Jesus has befriended us by taking upon himself our human nature. He took upon himself that human nature because he loves you. Because God loves you and sent His Son into the world. Jesus loved you, and here is the display, the example, the epitome of that love. He gave Himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, in your family, you probably have expectations of how people in the family are supposed to behave. For example, at Thanksgiving or Easter dinner, I don't imagine any of you have the custom of everybody taking off their shoes and eating with their feet, sticking their feet up on the table laden with food. You don't do that, do you, Annie Lee? I didn't think so. As I recall, you didn't. There are rules. There are expectations for your family, for the members of your family, and so it is with us who are members of God's family. He has made us a new creation in Christ. He has given us a nature like that, if you will, of the second Adam, a sinless nature. It's imputed to us by grace. Now, there is still the old sinful nature, the old Adam, that we struggle with. But struggling against that old Adam as God's beloved children, we strive to forsake such things as sexual immorality, all impurity, or covetousness. These things must not be named among you, unless they are confessed to the pastor and absolved, and then the pastor doesn't name them before other people. This is what is proper to the saints, among the saints, the holy ones of God in Christ Jesus, the beloved children of God in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say that there should be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking among us who are the beloved children of God. This is out of place, Paul says, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Remember that the word Eucharist, another name for the sacrament of the altar, is thanksgiving. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, gave thanks. He eucharisteoed, in other words. And so it is with us. Look at all God has blessed you with, not just earthly gifts, of which we have a plenty, but also the eternal, spiritual, heavenly gifts that come to us through the gospel. Heaven had to come down among us in the incarnation of Jesus Christ so we could be lifted up into heaven, so we could become God's own beloved children. And sometimes we do forget about these things or neglect these things, or we lose sight of their importance. But how important they are. How important they are for the saints in Christ who are facing death or who have passed through death and have entered the presence of the triune God. You have been given a kingdom. You have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And you may be sure of this, Paul says, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, which is idolatry, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Paul, elsewhere in his epistles, names those who will not inherit the kingdom of God: fornicators, adulterers, covetousness, liars, thieves. He goes on and on and on. And then he says, "And such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been sanctified in Christ Jesus." That was the old life. You have been given a new life in Christ. So instead of living our lives in the darkness of sin and unbelief, we come to that light which is Jesus Christ. We come to the light so that our deeds may be seen for what they are, accomplished through faith in Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us. You are not sons of disobedience. Yes, you do struggle against your sinful nature. Yes, you do face times of temptation. Yes, there are times you fail. There are times you fall flat on your face, times that you sin. But here's the good news. Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, even death on a cross. And when you fall, he absolves you. He picks you up. He cleans you up. He binds the wounds. And he renews your spirit through the gospel and enables you to once again take up your cross and follow him. Walk as children of light. Paul concludes this portion of the epistle to the Ephesians. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Good teacher, Jesus was called. The righteous one, Jesus is called. The way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says of himself. See, the fruit of the light is found in Christ Jesus. And it is through relationship with him, a relationship he established with you in holy baptism, that you and I are able to live a life to God's glory. Not for any boasting, for if any man boast, Paul says, let him boast in the cross of Christ, through which we have been crucified to the world and the world to us. Living in relationship with Christ, again, the relationship that God has established you as his beloved children. The works of faith are produced. they naturally bud forth, like trees are now budding forth with leaves and flowers. Faith comes first. God's grace comes first. God giving you a new status as His beloved child comes first. And it's only because of this that you and I, hearing the gospel, receiving the gifts of the gospel, being fed and nourished by the gospel, can be imitators of God, the God who so loved our human race that He gave His only begotten Son. Walk in love, Paul says, just as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for you. And thanks be to God that He did, because now we have a new eternal status, which those who lack faith in Christ do not know, but which we, as God gives us the opportunity, seek to share with others, that they too might be God's beloved children in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.